sign not to do the things I've done. Walk away from trouble if you can. Now, it won't mean you're weak if you turn the other cheek. I hope you're old enough to understand. Son, you don't have to fight to be a man.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this, what's left of this Friday morning, 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the program, time permitting, we'll get to your text. But in the meantime, joining us on the line, he is our returning champion, one and only State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, how are you?
I am doing well. It is great to be with you.
How are you weathering election cycle 2026?
It is getting close to the end, and so I am very much looking forward to that happening, and looking forward to knowing who my delegation is in Baldwin County. We've had certainly a lot of change there, and looking forward to figuring all of that out and how we're going to move forward and continuing to work hard to get our share of road and bridge and education dollars back in the county.
Well, I don't think you and I have talked about this as much. Just statewide stuff, all throughout this cycle, abnormally high number of undecided voters. And Todd, Stacey, and I were just talking about it. Like, what point are those undecided voters really likely voters anymore? But, like, something's really changed in the electorate. So this really changed the way we do. Maybe it's the way we do polling. The polls are all over the place, and some are just polls meant to be messaging polls. But, like, you know, the state of election politics in Alabama really is in flux.
Oh, I certainly think it is. And it's so much less issue-based than it used to be and more almost personality-based. And I think you see that at the national level, too. But at the end of the day, I heard the rules chairman in the House, Joe Lovren, say this the other day. He said, you know, there are all these different boxes that we put issues in, right? There is the big issues of governing, right? Of budgeting, of fiscal responsibility. And then there are the big issues that deal with how our government works, how we deal with big things like education funding and school choice and increased funding for roads and bridges and everything else and tax cuts. And that's all well and good. And then this third box is all of these other things that, I mean, at the end of the day, they look good on Facebook. They're exciting to talk about and they get people really ginned up. But I'm afraid that we're losing folks that are not paying attention to the real important daily work that goes on in the other two thirds of things because they're just not that exciting. They're not that sexy. They don't get just people just ginned up. And at the end of the day, government's pretty boring if you do it right.
Government's boring, and when you try to make it about the policy and policy issues, and there are varying degrees of policy perspectives throughout politics, it becomes a, do you want to win the election or do you want to win the debate trophy? Yep. And you have candidates who try to do it the right way, and then they lose the election.
And so what I try to do is both, right? You've got to make sure that you're responding to your constituents, that you're taking up issues that are important to them, but you've also got to make sure that you're doing the job and you're doing the job right. And, certainly not here to toot my own horn, but I think that balance is something that we saw in the last election, at least as far as I'm concerned, where we ended up with 73% of the vote. I'll take that. That's a win. Did I make everybody happy? No. Did I make some people mad? Yes. But if you're making everybody happy, you're probably not doing it right either.
Well, and it's just, you need that spark and you need something to get people's attention. And so I think on the other side, like, we got to evaluate this, that, the media is so democratized. I'm not just talking about news media. I'm talking about all these different places where people go and their eyeballs are attracted to. So the issue here is, like, how do you make that connection with a voter? You don't do it the same way. I mean, yeah, there's like a retail politics that's always going to be there where you do knock on doors or you do go to events. But the air campaign strategy, if you will, is totally different than it even was 4 years ago.
No question. No question. I mean, back when I first started running for office 14 years ago, it was all about how much money you could raise so that you can get your message out. And I'm telling you right now, in this last election cycle, or the one that we're about to finish up right now, more money isn't going to fix any candidate's problem on, you know, even the challengers or the incumbents. That's not it anymore. People are inundated with contacts, whether that's Facebook, Instagram, whatever social media they're using that I don't even know about now that my kids are using. Text messaging, et cetera. It's mail. Don't even get me started on the mail. It's way too much. And so what you've got to do is you've got to rely on depth. And it means you got to work harder as a candidate. It means you got to have been to the Lions Club, the Kiwanis Club, every single month. You've got to go to all the Republican women event. You've got to meet people where they are, and you've got to go see them consistently and constantly. You can't just show up on election day and expect to get it done. And I think some of the times we've seen incumbents fall, that's what's happened. They haven't been consistent. They haven't shown up. They hadn't shown the effort for the entire 4 years. It was a, hey, we'll just get it done on election day.
That's sort of the key here. Like, if you're a guy who's around in the community, like, you're the guy that you see at the gas station pumping gas and you talk to people, or, you know, whatever, the diner, if people still go to diners, it's always kind of a hokey news media fascination of going to the diner and talking about politics. But like you're all out in the community, you're at the high school game on Friday night. You got to do that. But that's not just something you could do. Even it's not even just election day, Senator. It's like you got to do it throughout the entire term.
You got to go on the Jeff Poore Show weekly. You got to say yes to those things. You got to talk to the media. You got to answer their questions. You can't hide. And you know plenty of politicians that have hidden from you, right? That have not been willing to take your calls, to answer your questions, to come on your show, to talk to your reporters on 1819. If you don't do that, you're going to end up in trouble. And you're right. You got to go to all the things. You got to show up. You got to meet people where they are, and they've got to know who you are. You can't just show them some glossy mailer three months before the election and expect that to move the needle.
No, and it is coming on this program. You don't have to come on every week, but there is this sort of, I don't know, this philosophy about it. Like, why are you going on talk radio? It's just causing problems. It's just stirring the pot. Don't do – but, I mean, I think there's a level of accountability there, you know, that's got to be met. And maybe it's not this talk show, but there's other places you could show up, and there's just a real reluctance. And I don't know what it is, but it's sort of a phenomenon that I've really been confronted with in Alabama politics since I got back in the Alabama game about 8 years ago. There's a real reluctance to interact with the media. And I get it. Like, there's a lot of like left-wing ideological things going on in media these days, but you got to kind of pick your spots, I think.
And that's what I try to do, is pick my spots. You know, am I going to do an interview with Brian Lyman? No, I'm not. There's no point in that, right? But will I go talk to reporters about what we're doing? Some of which is the sexy stuff and the exciting stuff, and some of which is absolutely not, right? It's talking about budgets. It's talking about occupational licensing reform, business tax reform, things that matter to people, but that you can have time to articulate in the off season where folks are listening. People listen to your show. People listen to, you know, Clark Stewart's, you know, show in Foley. They listen to that stuff. And I think it's important, in addition to doing Lions Club, Kiwanis Club, Rotary, you know, to talk to people day in, day out, you know, and make sure you're explaining to them what you're doing for them. And more importantly, you're listening to what you're missing. You're listening to what they want you to do and what they need.
Well, yeah. But there's also this, like, I don't know, this wisdom out there that, you know, you got to be able to manage the message. And it becomes not just managing, it's like micromanaging it. And you've got to just shut out all the variables and all the things that might go wrong, all the places where you might step in it. And I think that we're going to see, this is going to be the lesson, that you're going to see a lot of losing campaigns, a lot of long faces on Wednesday from those who went in that direction.
Well, one of my concerns and one of the things that I think has changed is the ability to have an honest, frank conversation, not certainly just on the radio, which you and I do all the time, but to have a conversation with a constituent or even with a fellow lawmaker and not be sure that it's not being recorded. Sorry for the double negative there. But it's concerning to me where I've seen that happen, where a constituent comes to, into a legislator's office and asks them their honest opinion on something and where they are and to speak frankly on something, and then to rebroadcast that during a campaign when you have a legislator speaking honestly with you, and to turn that into some kind of campaign message. Now, is that fair game? Maybe it is. But what's that? What effect is that going to have? That's going to have the effect of legislators or elected officials around not wanting to speak unscripted ever, because they're afraid they're going to be constantly recorded on every single thing that they do.
Oh yeah, and they're going to do that, and they're going to put up a guard, right? Because these guys, they don't really. It's not something that I could personally ever get away with. I can't go show up at a lawmaker's office and have like a surreptitiously recorded situation there, and I mean that's just. But no, the public's not really bound to that sort of those sort of ethics.
Well, they're not, and that's where I think you're going to see, you know, some members that and some elected officials that just shy away from that, especially on complex issues where you can take a soundbite out of context and not be able to fully explain a position on something like gaming, for instance, right? That is a complex, very complex issue, and you have somebody take a soundbite here or there and then turn it into and weaponize it during a campaign. That's unfortunate, I think, both for the public and for the elected official.
Yeah, and it happens a lot, but I guess it's just part of the world we live in now, because everybody's got a Facebook page or a blog or whatever, and what it does, Senator, speaking for myself and very selfishly here, but makes it harder for me to do my job. How many of these lawmakers run away from Jeff Poor when they see him in the hallway? I mean, not as much as they used to, but there's still a few out there.
Well, I think you're a pretty fair arbiter, and I will continue to engage with you. I appreciate the opportunity to reach your audience and talk honestly about what's going on, the good, bad, and ugly.
Well, and we'll move on from sort of the state of affairs and the and election politics, or at least with the news gathering outside of it. But the elections on Tuesday, do you have any sense of what, I mean, it seems like we're going to see, I think, low turnout. Democrats showed up, but they can't vote Tuesday in the Republican primary.
No, they can't. And so I think you will see low turnout, most likely. I hope that that's not the case. But listen, runoffs have always been a turnout game, right? They have always been about getting your voters out and the other, you know, the opponent not getting their voters out. And so that's not anything new. I am glad that we passed a law that says, hey, if you vote in a Republican primary, you can't come, you know, if you don't vote in a Republican primary, you can't come vote in a Republican runoff. That's a good thing. And so that's helpful. I think you don't have Democrats really putting their thumb on the scale as it relates to that. So I think that is good. What concerns me more, and we've talked about this before, was several districts around the state where the Democrat turnout in the primary exceeded the Republican turnout in the primary. And you've heard recently some comments by Chairman Stadhagen about that. That's a problem in some of these more purple districts. And I am worried that that lack of enthusiasm is going to result in, or could result in, losses for the caucus in both the House and the Senate. That concerns me.
Well, but I guess we know that Republicans, for whatever reason, maybe it's just sort of the Fox Newsification of things, they'll show up for the general election, even though most of the time in this state, the general election is a mere formality, that a lot of the candidates really are decided in the primary contest. But that's my hope here, that yes, we saw low turnout in, say, for example, the Huntsville area from Republicans, but maybe that. They're just, well, I'm saving my vote for the general election.
Okay. You're saving it. It doesn't count twice. Go ahead and use it when you can.
I know.
That bothers me. And again, that's not the voter's fault, okay? Everybody's really quick to put that on the voter and say, they're not engaged, they're not civic engaged, shame on them. Listen, that's our fault. That's the elected official's fault for not doing enough to excite the electorate to get out and vote.
Well,
so it's against us.
Well, let me say this. I think it's more, I mean, yes, obviously the buck stops with the elected official, but I think some of these elected officials are getting bad advice. And it goes back to our discussion earlier, but they aren't, they haven't adopted like or adapted to the new world we live in.
Well, that's a fair statement. And the only defense to that statement is that it's moving at a breakneck pace and keeping up with what is important to my constituency, and keeping up with how they like to be interacted with is really something. I mean, when I started in this business, making sure that you reserved the sticky note that went on the front page of the Mobile Press Register that said, be sure to vote for Chris Elliott on, July, whatever, or June, whatever, was a big deal, and you had to book that way out in advance to make sure you had that on election day and probably the Monday before. Now we don't have sticky notes. We don't have the Mobile Press Register. We don't have newspapers. We don't have any of those things anymore. And it's amazing to me how much has changed. There was a time when a candidate having a Facebook page was something just crazy and outlandish. Now it's the only way to communicate other than Instagram and Twitter. And so things change at breakneck speed, and it will be something completely different 4 years from now. And so the message to my colleagues is going to be, stay on top of it, find a consultant that is with it and up to speed on what's going on, and make sure you engage the voters where they are. Don't wait on them to come to you. They're not going to do it.
Senator, we'll leave it there. Safe travels wherever you are today, but we'll pick it up again next week.
Thanks so much for having me. Looking forward to be back home.
All right. State Senator Chris Elliott there. We got to get a timeout in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Spend my dollar. Park in a holler neath the mountain moonlight. Hold her up tight. Make a little loving. A little turn of loving on a Mason-Dixon line. Fits my life. Oh, so right. My Dixie.